Welcome to the weekly Radio Spin, a look at the stories behind the news, brought to you by the Center for Media and Democracy. I'm Diane Farsetta.
And I'm Judith Sears Poisson. In our top spin, if you want to look like you're in the U.S. military, you might want to shop at Sears. In October, more than 500 Sears stores will start selling the All-American Army Brand 1st Infantry Division line of clothing. The line marks the first time the U.S. Army has officially licensed its marks and insignias. The licensing fees will go towards military programs for troops and their families. The profits will go to Sears. Sears describes the line as, quote, authentic lifestyle reinterpretations of military uniforms and gear. The U.S. Army hopes the clothing line will raise its profile and help with recruitment. The PR firm EuroRSCG is helping promote the line.
Pity poor Chevron. Yes, it's the second largest U.S.-based oil company, with annual profits in the tens of billions of dollars. But Nigerian villagers are about to bring the oil giant to trial. The villagers filed a U.S. civil suit against Chevron, accusing the company of wrongful death, torture, and negligence. The charges stem from a 1998 protest at a Chevron oil platform in Nigeria. The Nigerian military broke up the protest, shooting at the protesters and killing two. The soldiers were paid by Chevron and flown to the oil platform in Chevron helicopters. A U.S. district court judge concluded that Chevron personnel, quote, were directly involved, end quote, and approved the attack. In response, Chevron hired the PR firm Singer Associates and went on a media offensive, offering pre-trial briefings to journalists. Chevron denies all charges, claiming the protesters took Chevron employees hostage and attacked the Nigerian soldiers.
If you've missed seeing ads for Lipitor, you're in luck. The pharmaceutical company Pfizer pulled television ads for its cholesterol drug in February after members of Congress and others called them misleading. The old Lipitor ads featured artificial heart inventor Robert Jarvik, who seemed to be giving medical advice, even though he isn't a practicing physician. Now, Pfizer is beginning to air new Lipitor ads. The spots feature John E., a baby boomer, heart attack survivor, and Lipitor user. Here's a clip.
Talk about a wake-up call. I had a heart attack at 57. My doctor told me I should have been doing more for my high cholesterol. What was I thinking? But now, I trust my heart to Lipitor.
A Pfizer marketing executive praised the new ads, saying, quote, when we did testing with consumers, John really resonated with them, end quote. Pfizer is eager to begin advertising for Lipitor again. Sales of Lipitor have been down, and Pfizer will lose its exclusive right to sell the drug in 2011.
So much for encouraging speaking truth to power. The U.S. Labor Department has dismissed hundreds of whistleblower complaints based on a technicality. In 2002, following the Enron and WorldCom scandals, federal legislation gave protections to corporate whistleblowers. But the Labor Department claims that the law doesn't cover employees of corporate subsidiaries. Senator Patrick Leahy, who helped draft the law, disagrees. He said, quote, otherwise, a company that wants to do something shady could just do it in their subsidiary, end quote. One case involves the public relations and advertising giant WPP. A former employee of WPP's firm Ogilvy & Mather filed a whistleblower complaint, saying he was fired because he cooperated with an investigation into charges that Ogilvy overbilled the U.S. government. The Labor Department dismissed his case because Ogilvy is a subsidiary of WPP.
And now it's time to play 6 Degrees of Spin and Faken, our look at the connections between media manipulators. We just mentioned the Ogilvy & Mather advertising firm. In 1999, Ogilvy began creating public service ads for the U.S. Office of National Drug Control Policy. In 2004, evidence surfaced that Ogilvy was overbilling the federal government. At first, Ogilvy admitted to overbilling more than $800,000, but blamed it on accounting mistakes. The resulting investigation and trial showed that Ogilvy executives actually told employees to inflate work reports on the government account. In one case, Ogilvy billed the government $11,000 for just 15 hours of work. Ogilvy and Mather paid a nearly $2 million settlement, and two Ogilvy executives went to prison.
That's this week's edition of the Weekly Radio Spin. For more information, visit the Center for Media and Democracy's website at www.prwatch.org.